If you got your Bibles, go to Hebrews chapter 11. What's that doing way over there? Hebrews chapter 11. Man, this is a rare day when folks get quiet when I say Hebrews 11. It's odd. That's nice. That's a good change, isn't it? If you got your Bibles, go to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11, we're going to focus on verse 28-31. We're going to read it into the record first, and then we're going to exercise a bit, okay? Hebrews chapter 11, verse 28. Give everybody a chance to get there. Those of us who are just getting started, the best way to find Hebrews is go to the very end of your Bible, go to the maps, and start turning to the left, all right? Hebrews chapter 11, verse 28. Let's hear what God has to say to us. By faith, He, quickly, who is the He?
Moses.
Yeah, and if you'll back up, you'll see that. He, Moses, kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood so that the destroyer of the firstborn would not touch the firstborn of Israel. By faith, the people passed through the Red Sea as on dry land, but when the Egyptians tried to do so, they were drowned. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell after the people had marched around them for 7 days. By faith, the prostitute Rahab, because she welcomed the spies, was not killed with those who were disobedient. Four brief statements about people of God doing impossible things. And the key phrase in every one of those was, now go ahead and underline them, and we're going to rehearse them and repeat them. Go ahead and underline every place you saw by faith. In this room, there are people that have seen God do what they believed to be impossible things. There are people sitting in this room that if they testify, and here in a minute we may ask them to do some of that, but if you ask them, 6 months ago, 6 years ago, man, what was your situation, and do you feel like there's any hope, or is it just impossible? There are folks in here who said it's impossible, and yet God has done in their lives what they thought was impossible. Now, so first thing we're going to do is celebrate a little bit of that. If you're willing, I know we've got some fresh faces, and anytime we get very many fresh faces here, some of our folks get kind of nervous. If you're here for the very first time, you are welcome. You're among people that if you'll give them a chance, will make you feel welcome. And if you'll take a chance on getting to know them, you'll be blessed like I've been blessed. That's the truth. But there's some of us that have gone through some tough times. And part of that, in those tough times, we've thought, man, that's just impossible. This is never going to get any better. There's no way God can do that. There's no hope in this situation. And yet God has done something impossible. Tell me one of those things. Tell me a situation where you thought, man, 6 months ago, 6 years ago, this was impossible. And yet here's what God did for me. Hey, Brianna said, if you couldn't hear, it wasn't that long ago that if somebody had told her that she'd be sitting in a place like this, talking about God and Jesus, having faith, sitting here with her family and not just her grandma, that she would have said it was impossible. God did some amazing things in that family. What have you seen God do in your life that you just thought was impossible? And He did it anyway.
He brought me, my son, my grandson, together. We haven't seen him 4 years. His kids have. They didn't think they'd ever see him again. We're here today. Say, God did it. We're here.
That's right. I want you to take a deep breath. Because that's the kind of things we do here. We see here all the time. we're going to focus a second. Anybody else in here seen impossible family relationships healed? Impossible family relationships changed because of God? Rick?
Yeah, my whole family's back together. Over a year and a half ago, I would have dreamed I'd be here and we would be here with my family. And the obsession, the storm that I was going through at that time is gone. I mean, it's just like it existed, but only it seems like years ago instead of just a year ago. Reunited my family. I thought that once they were taken away, you know, that I'd never see them again. It didn't take long at all for everything just to catch back together. And the miracle of it is my family knows about God. I mean, they didn't really know who God was. They didn't have to know.
You know, when Rick said his family taken away, I've been in meetings like this, been in church settings, somebody will say that, and it's a metaphorical thing. My family was gone, or they were taken away. When Rick says his family was taken away, they were taken away. He had no hope of being with them again, seeing them again. And God's done amazing things in this last year or so to not only rescue Rick from that obsession, but to restore his family. Tell me a situation you thought at one time was just impossible. Just impossible. And yet God did it anyway. Heather said people didn't believe in her, didn't think it ever happened. She wanted to serve God as a missionary, and now she's in Lubbock and in touch with the people that do that kind of thing. Sometimes when we go to thinking something impossible, well, when we think something that was impossible becomes possible, we got people in our lives, family, friends, enemies, that'll try to convince us that it's not really possible. They try and take your hope away. God does impossible things, doesn't he? Anybody else? Something that was impossible. Impossible in God. I know, I'll get to Ruby here in a second. I saw you, Ruby. Hang on. I want to give somebody beside the first row a chance. Lindsay. And for no other reason, we thank God for her for that. What did you once think was impossible that God made possible?
Well, I'm a teacher, and usually teachers only get hired, you know, in the summertime. And I lost my job in September and moved to Dallas and had a job within a month. In the middle of the year when teachers never get hired, the opening came up at the exact time that I needed it. So, at a place that I loved and made the best friend.
There you go. Something you thought was impossible that God... Chelsea?
Chelsea, you know, look, it's been so long, and I was like, that's so crazy. Mm-hmm. And every time I woke up, and now I just can't.
Chelsea said something that I think occurs to a lot of us. When you get hopeless, when you feel like you're facing something impossible, what do? Work harder? What do? You give up. You stop praying. You stop believing. You stop hoping. Because it's been too long. I thought it's interesting. And we do it in here. And we do it a lot in here. We'll talk about how long something was. And Kelsey said, how long? About a year? Some of us in here have hurt like that for more than a year. 2 years, 3 years. How about 400 years? The people that kept the Passover, not only had they waited their lifetime for deliverance, not only had they waited a lifetime for God to do something about answering their prayers, their families had lived there. Their grandparents had lived there. Their great-grandparents. 400 years. That they thought, God's not listening, but they kept on crying. They kept on begging God for help. And it was by faith that they kept that first Passover. Now, do you remember the story that some of us just getting started? So let me tell you a little bit about the story. You know, God's people are down in Egypt. You've heard the story or seen the movie Ten Commandments. You know what I'm talking about? Right? They're in bondage. They're being mistreated. They are slaves. And they're not hired workmen. They're slaves. They're having to build bricks, make out of straw and mud. They are the slaves. When they start to have too many babies, the Pharaoh, that's the king of Egypt, the Pharaoh decides to kill all the baby boys. It's genocide, folks. It would be horrible to live with that. You had these little babies in your arms, and they would come take the baby and kill it if it was a male child, because they didn't want God to bring anybody to come up, rise up to be a leader. All the time that Pharaoh was doing those evil things, God was doing amazing things. There was a baby born in one of the families that was a goodly child, the Bible says. He was not an ordinary. Now, I don't know of a grandmother who doesn't believe that about her grandchild, but you know what I mean. And they hid him for a while. They hid him for 3 months. But after 3 months, they make too much noise and they smell too bad. You can't hide him anymore. So they put him in a basket, stuck him in the river, put Big Sister to watch him. Now, real quick, just for those of you who've been going to church all your life, this is for you. What's the Big Sister's name? Miriam. Now, I knew somebody would know it. Miriam's watching her baby brother, and here comes Pharaoh's daughter. Pharaoh's daughter comes to the river. She's going to bathe, and she sees this little basket. When she opens the basket, the baby cries. Perfect timing, I think. Perfect timing. Had it been a man found the basket and the baby had cried, what would have happened? Close the basket. Push it toward the gators. Yes, yes. A woman picks up the basket, opens the basket, and the baby cries, and the mama in her says, "Oh!" And so they take the baby. Big Sister says, would you like me to find somebody to nurse this baby you have? And she said, that'd be a great deal, and tell her I'll pay her. So Miriam went and found a woman who was just made to nurse her, nurse that baby. Who was it? It was the mama of that baby, Moses. It was Moses' mama. And she got paid for nursing her own child. And while she nursed him, she taught him. Faith comes by hearing God's word, and she taught him God's word. So that when he was 40 years old, he decided, I don't want to be Pharaoh's son anymore. I don't want to be the son of Pharaoh's daughter anymore. I don't want all the riches. I don't want all the power. I don't want all the pleasures. I want to be with my folks. So he renounced all that, said to his people, it's time for us. Let's go to the promised land. He remembered the promises God had made. His mama had taught him. So he said, let's go back to that promised land. And all of God's people looked at him and said, no way, Mose. No. Who died and left you, boss? And that he ran away then for 40 years. And for 40 years, he was a failure. 40 years, he lived with the fact that he was a failure. Now, it wasn't his failure. It was theirs, but he wore it. He bore it. It was his failure. For I tried to lead them out. They wouldn't follow me. Something's wrong with me. And for 40 years, he stayed in the wilderness, keeping his father-in-law's sheep. Didn't even have his own flock. kept his fine lost sheep for 40 years. One day he saw that burning bush. You remember the story? Saw the burning bush, approached the burning bush. A voice out of the bush said, Moses, take off your shoes. When a bush talks to you, you do what it says. It takes off his shoes. He says, I want you to go back to Egypt. Moses starts to make excuses. I don't think I can. I'm not smart enough. I'm not good enough. God says, it's not you that's going to do it. It's going to be me through you. Throw down your rod. He threw it down, turns into a snake, picks it back up. God says, take that back to Pharaoh and tell him to let my people go. So at 80 years old, when everybody else would have said, it's over. A year is a long, and I'm not making light of what Chelsea said. We've done it in here. A year is a long time. 2 years, 4 years, 5 years. There's some of you been suffering over 10 years. You are suffering and you wish God would deliver you. Wish God would relieve you of this burden you have. But 40 years he lived with this failure. And God said, now it's time for you to go do the work that I have made you to do. He walked back in, he looked at Pharaoh and said, Jehovah said, let my people go. Pharaoh said, well, who is this God that I should listen to him? And Moses gave him that 10-lesson correspondence course we call the plagues, right? The river turned to blood, and then there were frogs and lice and flies, and the cattle started dying, and then there were sores all over everybody, and then there was locusts and hail and darkness. And finally, get ready, God said, I'm going to send a destroyer on Egypt, and I'm going to slay the firstborn of every family. The only family that'll escape, I'll let you tell me. The only family that's going to escape the death of that firstborn son is the family who takes blood from an innocent, spotless lamb and sprinkles that blood on their door. Then when the destroyer sees the blood, he will, what's the word? He'll pass. That's where it comes from. God will pass over that house. Now, if I've watched God turn the river to blood, if I've watched God send frogs and lice and flies, if I've watched God do amazing things among the cattle and the people of Egypt, if I've watched God turn it dark, when he says, I'm about to destroy the firstborn son, and he says, I'll skip your house. I'll pass over your house if I've got blood. If I see blood on the door, what would you do? I'd put blood on the door. By faith, they did something that anybody else would have considered foolish. Tell someone, I'm putting blood on my door. And they say, what are you doing? So I'm protecting my firstborn son from the destroyer that God's going to send. And somebody that doesn't believe is going to say, that doesn't make any sense. Why would he want you to do that? I've never seen that before. It's not going to work. I don't believe you know what you're talking about. And what do? Keep painting your door. Because faith is how you overcome the impossible. It was impossible. 400 years they had been in captivity. They couldn't raise an army big enough to fight the Egyptians. They couldn't have waged a war to have gotten their freedom. They had to trust. They had to trust. They had to have faith that God can do what's impossible. You got things in your life that you've seen as impossible? Yeah, we have. We've heard some of them. We're going to hear about to hear some more of them. But the way you overcome those things, the way you let God help you overcome those things, is put your faith in God. Do the simple things. Do what God tells you is right. He'll take care of everything else. All right, let's exercise a bit. Tell me something in your life just like that. You thought it was impossible. It might have been, wasn't 400 years for us. Might have been a year. Might have been 2 years. Tell me something that you thought was impossible that you saw God do amazing things to help you overcome. Ruby?
A friend of mine had said that Jesus told him because he wanted to get closer to God and help people out to start the concert that we did the other day. And he said that a lot of people are telling me this is impossible. You're not going to be able to kick something like that off. It's just not going to happen. And he decided he wasn't going to, listen to them. He had faith that, you know, Jesus told him to do this, he's going to do it, and that he wouldn't let him down. So, you know, I thought I'm going to keep the faith too, you know, and a lot of people thought it was impossible, and, you know, it went off without a hitch. It was really good, and he blessed a lot of people that day. So, it was possible.
What have you seen? Impossible. You believed something was impossible, but you saw God do something that was impossible. You saw him do amazing things. Interesting point here. Interesting point. We're going to exercise some more in a minute, but interesting point. God answered the prayer. God did what was impossible. But when the door opens, how do you feel? Do you remember what the word was? There's some things that still scare you. There's some still things that, ooh, what do I do now? I mean, God was listening, and he gave me this opportunity. Now what do I do? Same thing happened here. Same thing happened here. They sprinkled that blood on their doorpost. The destroyer passed over. Pharaoh said, ooh, that's it. I'm tired of those people. Get them out of here. And the Egyptians gave Israel, all those Jewish folks, gave them all their riches, gave them all their possessions, gave them all their gold, their microwave, everything. Man, they loaded them down. And Israel walked out of Egypt. Israel walked out of Egypt having conquered Egypt, and they never raised a sword. They never cursed a word. They just trusted God to do the impossible. But was that the end of it? Now you remember, keep reading. Look at verse 30 through 29. They got to a place called the Red Sea. If you've seen the movie, you've got a little bit of a picture of it, but that's not what really happened. I mean, they got to a place where they could have gone around the Red Sea and have escaped the Egyptians. God tells them to stop. In fact, moves them down a little bit so they can get trapped against the Red Sea. He wants Pharaoh to come after him, and sure enough, he does. Pharaoh and all of his soldiers start after Israel. Can you imagine what that would have been like? You look back toward Egypt and you see that cloud of dust coming from all those chariots, all those horses. You're standing at the edge of an ocean you can't walk across. You can't swim across. There's no way to escape it. They're in an impossible place facing an impossible enemy, and they are going to die. In fact, they start to complain. They start to whine. Why'd you lead us out here to die? We're going to die now. We could have stayed there and been slaves and still been alive. Why did you do this to us? And Moses, what's the phrase? By faith. He took that rod and held it out and said, stand still and see the salvation of Jehovah. And the wind started to blow and the Red Sea parted. And they passed through. I didn't write it. They passed through the Red Sea on dry land. How do you do impossible things? How do you face not only impossible enemies, how do you face impossible fears? I just don't think this ever will be right. I don't think my family will ever come home. I don't think my bills will ever be paid. I don't think I'll ever overcome this addiction. I don't think I can. All those things that make us afraid. What do? Have faith. Sometimes you need to stand still and just see the salvation of Jehovah. They walk through as on dry land. Now, when Pharaoh and his boys tried it, what happened? They drowned. God took care of the enemy. God took care of the fear. One more time to exercise. Tell me something in your life that you thought was an impossible thing, an impossible fear, an impossible enemy, an impossible problem, and God rescued from it. God helped you overcome it.
The other part of that story is we drove 1,400 miles. I'm disabled. I was riding home from work one day, and the guy came off the interstate and plowed in me 65 miles an hour and threw me in the guardrail and busted my neck. I got a plate and post in my neck. My daughter, my wife, and my kids told me, no, Dad, you can't do it. You can't go with them kids. If my mom wasn't putting them on the bus, they had to change the bus three times.
And you drove them.
We didn't have the money to fly them. So I said, God, give me the strength, I'll go. And my wife, my daughter said, please, please don't go. But I did anyway.
Where are you from?
Statesville, North Carolina. So we hopped in the truck and my co-pilot here, guys here. So we got here. So they see their dad. He was going to sell his guitar. And that's all your whatever one was that guitar, and he got it. He wanted to sell it so he could see his dad.
Yeah, thank God. It starts by having faith. You overcome 400 years of slavery by faith. You part Red Seas by faith. They walked into the Promised Land and they faced a city they could not defeat, a walled city, a fortified city. We'd call it a fort, a castle. There's no way they can overcome. They can't fight it. God promised that the land would be theirs, but they couldn't get it. And God finally says, here's what I want you to do. I want you to march around it one time a day for 7 days. 6 days. And on the seventh day, I want you to walk around it seven times. And when you finish that seventh time, I want you to shout, blow your trumpet. Not throw a stone, not shoot an arrow, not pull a sword. I want you to walk, and I want you to shout. I want you to walk, and I want you to shout. Look at verse 30. The walls of Jericho, circle the word. The walls of Jericho, say it. The walls of Jericho fell. How'd that happen? By faith. By faith. This is the last time we'll exercise it for this. But what I want us to do is not talk about what we have seen, is talk about what we need to see. You've heard it, and there's lots more. I mean, I didn't say anything. Dennis didn't say anything. There's folks in here that could have stood and said, you're not going to believe what God did in my life. You're not going to believe the amazing things God has worked. You just heard the tip of the iceberg here. When I thank everybody that said something, well, thank you for sharing that. Amazing things God has done. But if that's true, that also implies there's some of us that are still at a place where we need God to do some impossible things. We need God to do some amazing things. So tell me, what's the situation in your life right now that is impossible? What's the situation in your life right now that's just impossible, that you just think, there is no way I can overcome this, there's no way I can do this, and I need God to do something that's impossible to do?
My boyfriend lost his job about 3 weeks ago, and we were doing good. He got us a place, so we can be a family, our first place, just to us. And, he lost his job, and so we're struggling. We can't pay rent, electricity, disconnection notice, and stuff like that. And I was telling him if we had a place to go, it would be okay, you know. But there's nowhere for us to go if we don't have that place. My sister already has company in her house. It's going to be way too crowded. It's not even a suggestion. My aunt has people in her house. It's full. My mom doesn't have her own house. So we would be out on the streets again. Going back to his mom's house isn't a suggestion. I figured it'd be just trying to go back to drama back over there. So it's like both of us have tried everything we can. He's applied from top of the street to the bottom of the street, and no one's called him back, so we're both kind of losing our faith.
Do you ever be in a situation where you just looking at it, you got no place to live, you got no job, so there's no hope of you getting a place to live? That's what Rebecca's talking about. What's a situation in your life where you know, man, I've got to have God do this. I can't do this. I can't do it. I need God to do something that's impossible.
Heal my mom and my relationship.
You know, we talked a lot about, over the years, we've talked a lot about money. And how finances can just swallow you and oppress you and keep you bound. We've talked about needing a place to stay, needing a job, needing some medicine. We've looked at all those things, thought they were impossible, and God's answered our prayers on them. Done amazing things here. But maybe the most amazing things I've seen God do here are have to do with relationships. Let's focus there for a minute. Lacey wants a relationship with her mom healed. What's an impossible relationship you want God to fix? What's an impossible situation you want God to handle?
I'd like to meet my son again. I really don't. It would take God to do that. Through my addiction, I burned some bridges really, really bad. His mother, she just doesn't want to have anything to do with me. She's kind of just, I'm dead in there, you know. And when I first sobered up, I tried to get in touch with him. But of course, you know, it's too late. It's been over 10 years. And I don't know. Whatever happens, whenever he does finally meet me, I mean, he wants to walk up to me and punch me right in the nose, that so be it, you know.
Yeah.
I would just like to let him know that all those 10 years, even though I was kind of out of my mind, I still thought about him. And, part of that was part of the things that I supposedly dragged over. I would just love to see him.
What relationship? God does. Of the things that are still unspoken, okay? Things that still rest in our hearts about situations that are impossible, relationships that are impossible, addictions, other problems, personal problems that we see as impossible. One of the things that robs us of hope, one is how long it takes. We've heard 1 year, now we've heard 10 years. I'm going to remind us, God, it's not impossible even if it's 400 years. Of the things that we've thought were impossible, getting a job, holding on to an apartment, healing a relationship. We see it as impossible, but God can part Red Seas and tear down fortified walls. He can heal relationships. He can. But one of the things that eats at us, and this is how we close, is we look at ourselves, a lot of times, it's not the time that it takes God to do it, it's whether we feel worthy for God to do it. It's been said in here, I just don't think God will do it because I'm the kind of person I am. I haven't been a good enough person. Anybody in here that's been a good enough person in your life, just hold your breath for the next 5 minutes. Because it ain't possible, folks. None of us have been good enough in here. That's why this last sentence is so important. Read it, verse 31. By faith, now I'm not going to say the word. I want you to say it. So you'll know I'm not making it up. This comes right from the Word of God. By faith, the, say it, prostitute. Now, your old Bible will call her a harlot. What that means is she was a religious prostitute. So not only did she have the immoral lifestyle of a prostitute, she was an idolatrous pagan prostitute. And read that again. By faith, the prostitute Rahab, because she welcomed the spies, was not killed with those who were disobedient. Who died in Jericho? Of the people that lived in Jericho, who died when those walls fell? Everyone except Rahab and her family. The place in the wall where she lived, she had hung a scarlet cord out of it just like the spies had told her. And when the walls collapsed, there was one room left standing. It was Rahab's. Since I don't know everybody in here, I can say it this way. I don't know the stuff you've done in your life. I don't know all the stuff you've done. Now, the folks that are here on a regular basis, when we talk just us, we know because we've talked about it. I know what you've done. You know what I've done. You know the things that I know, the things that work on you that make you feel like you are not worthy of God's attention. You know the things in my life that still haunt me about my shameful and sinful decisions. We know that. The word from God is, by faith, He will even do something impossible for a prostitute. Now, if we're going to start comparing sins, I got to tell you, there's nothing you've done, that I think compares with how shameful what I did was. We've talked about that, those of us who are here on a regular basis. I just don't know that anybody ever did as bad as I did for lots of reasons. But the truth is, it does not matter to God. I don't care how long it is, 400 years. I don't care how wide it is, Red Sea, or deep it is, Red Sea. I don't care how thick the walls are or how shameful the sin is. There is nothing impossible with God. Except this. It's impossible for God to lie. So let me tell you, whatever it is that haunts you, whatever it is that distresses you, whatever it is that robs you of your faith, that you think, I just don't think I can wait. I don't think I can fix this. I don't think I can do this. All those things, God does impossible things. And just for today, just for this moment, let's believe. Let's believe that God can do the impossible. That God can find us a job and help us find a job and help us keep a place to stay. God can help us make a trip and get us back home safe. That God can heal a relationship. And God can use us to His glory to help other folks see Him do impossible things, right?